I believe the Lord laid a word on my heart, and I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. If you've got your pew Bible there right in front of you, you can turn over to page 1592. And on this last Sunday of 2025, I want to preach a message entitled Missing Jesus. Remember what we said last week in the Christmas Eve services or in the Christmas service? We said that Luke's approach in his writing style was totally different than the other gospel writers, John or Matthew or Mark. Luke many times wrote as a reputable historian who did some research and through conducting several interviews, he put together his narrative that starts with Luke, and then you also know he wrote the book of Acts. It's like a second volume. In today's passage, we're going to look at an interview that most certainly Luke had with the mother of Jesus, Mary. Luke's the only gospel writer to include this story of Jesus' childhood. Why did he include the story? Well, certainly because he was inspired of the Holy Spirit. We know that's the obvious and the main reason. But I love this because he's the only writer to write about it. But I'm so glad it's included because this entire episode, I would submit to you, in the life of Jesus, is a powerful application or a parable for your life and my life. And we're going to close the service. Pastor Killian's going to invite you forward as we're going to apply it in this service. I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we'll pick up reading at verse number 41. Stand with me for the reading of the word. Would you do that right now? Thank you. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, say 3 days. 3 days, the word says, that they found him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. When he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Lord, I pray that you would add your anointing to the word. Thank you for these people today. They call Brighton Assembly their church home. Thank you for the privilege to pastor them another year. Thank you for the grace that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that if you tarry, you don't come back at the start of 2026 or throughout that year. I pray that your grace would just abound to us. I pray that there would be a fresh anointing upon our lives. And Lord, if there's people in the sound of my voice that have drifted from you, I pray that they would come back to you this hour in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Minister to these people. Lord, they didn't turn on the computer or come to the house of God to hear a man today. They came to hear a word from you. So speak, I pray, Lord. And if you can't speak through me, I pray you'd speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And everybody would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Every year, all the Jewish males were expected to travel to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. They would have a very special time, Jesus would, and with his family, because we see that now Jesus is 12 years of age. That means he possibly could have been celebrating his bar mitzvah. For a girl, it was a bat mitzvah, a daughter of the law. For a boy, it was the bar mitzvah, the son of the law, a celebration of them becoming a man. You may be wondering, how in the world could Mary and Joseph do something so lame-brained as forgetting their oldest son? Doesn't that sound like child neglect? Can I just say, full disclosure, this happened to Ron and I this past summer. I left on a Wednesday night and left my phone accidentally on the desk. Our tradition is that on Wednesday nights, I pick up a pizza and bring it home, and we share it as a family. Sometimes, most of the time, one of the kids rides with me. But they weren't around, so I just left. But I left my phone on the desk. When I got to the pizza shop and got the pizza, I looked around for my phone and realized I left it at the church. Unbeknownst to me, Rhonda had left Eli at the church because Eli said, "Dad's phone's here. He must be meeting with somebody. I'll ride home with him when he comes back to the office." When I got back to the office, the church was nearly vacant, but here was Eli sitting on my couch playing a video game on my phone with the church nearly empty, and I walked in. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, I've been waiting for you, that I knew you were somewhere in the building." All the while, Mom and Dad forgot our son. So the fact of the matter is, let me give you a little bit of Jewish background. Every PK, by the way, has been left at church. Preacher's kid has been left at the church by mom and dad somewhere along the line, if that makes you feel any better. But let me give you the Jewish background so you'll understand it easily what happened. Back in Jesus' time, families traveled in large groups, caravans, if you will, with other families. It was a much safer way to be able to travel as an entourage. And of course, they walked or they rode on donkeys as they traveled, but they usually traveled in three separate groups. Group number one was all the married women would walk together. And this wasn't to be polite of the men. They weren't sharing chivalrous respect for the women by doing that. It was simply the men that knew that women walked maybe just a titch slower. So they left first, and the men preferred to not to walk with the women because the women would like to talk. And the very young children would travel. Those 12 and under would travel with the women. The second group of people was all the older children, basically supervised by the older girls who were not yet married. Couldn't you just see them kind of skipping along and having fun? And then the third group, separated, all these groups are separated by 200 or 300 yards, was the men bringing up the rear. They could keep an eye focused forward without having to look back. And all the guys would travel, those 12 and older. This way they can keep an eye on the three separate groups, the two in front of them, and move about. Now you can see what might have happened. After traveling all day, Mary and Joseph come together, and Mary never saw Jesus in the children's group because she assumed, you know what? Now he's 12, and the fact of the matter is he's going to be walking with the men. Joseph, on the other hand, was accustomed to just being the son Jesus to be in the children's group. And even though he had turned 12, he must have assumed, since he wasn't with the men, that he was walking with the older children. Both Mary and Joseph made dangerous assumptions. They each thought Jesus was with the other. They were wrong, and they discovered that Jesus was missing. When they returned to Jerusalem, they found him in the temple. And the religious experts were amazed with the wisdom and insight of the scriptures that Jesus was displaying. Mary scolds Jesus because he caused them so much anxiety and stress. Jesus revealed that even as a 12-year-old, he understood what his role was. In the King James Version, it says, I must be about my father's business. Joseph didn't interrupt and say, you know what? My business is carpentry. What do you mean? Joseph knew that he was not the primary father of Jesus. He was the earthly father, but not the spiritual and not the overriding father. In the NIV, it says, I had to be in my father's house. Mary didn't react by saying, your father's house is in Nazareth. Why? Because Mary knew better than anyone that Jesus was the Son of God. I had heard this story my entire life, quite honestly. It's the only insight that we have of Jesus' childhood that's post-birth. But I believe that, as I mentioned, it's a powerful parable for you and I to apply to our lives today. A parable for you and I to be careful not to find Jesus missing, or if you will, to keep our sight on Christ. I want you to learn three personal lessons when you discover Jesus is missing to apply to your life today. Number one is this. You can lose fellowship, that means the sight line of Jesus, even though you remain in relationship with Christ. After the word says, after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. I'm not talking about losing your salvation today. I'm talking about losing a sense of fellowship, sight with Jesus. Throughout this ordeal, Mary and Joseph never lost their relationship with Christ. It was intact. What they lost was his presence with them. When you're born again, you become a child of God. I believe as long as you desire, you can never lose that relationship. We're going to close the service by praying for people that have drifted or backslidden. I'll give you that. Somebody can reject the things of God. But I would submit to you, the devil can never make you lose your salvation. That covers all the possibilities. I'm in relationship with Christ. Once you're truly born again, you can never become anything other than a blood-bought child of God. The person, however, who's out of fellowship doesn't have a sweet sense of joyous fellowship with Jesus like they once had. Salvation, in great part, I would submit to you, it's like a marriage. You have the relationship, but you have to be diligent to maintain the fellowship. I love the story of a couple that's celebrating 50 years of marriage. And someone asked the husband, you know what? What's the secret to a long and a happy marriage? The husband responded, for years, twice a week, my wife and I have gone out to a nice restaurant for a good meal and clever conversation. He said, I go on Monday nights and she goes on Thursday nights. I like that, quite honestly. They had relationship, but they didn't have much fellowship. Is Jesus missing? Can I ask you, can I be so bold on this last Sunday of 2025? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were consistently closer to Jesus than you are right now? If the answer is yes, then you've lost sight of Jesus. You may have fellowship with him again, but you've lost the fellowship for a season. You can lose fellowship. You can lose sight of Christ, even though you remain in relationship with Jesus. Number two, you can lose sight of Jesus, even though you were close to him at one time. Some of you are already thinking and turning me off in the message by saying, you know what? He's not talking about me. Pastor's not talking to me about me. I'm in church almost every Sunday. Here I am the Sunday after Christmas. I'm in the house of God or I'm watching online. He's got to be talking about those pagan people who don't come to church anymore and they've lost Christ, but not me. The fact of the matter is, look at the details of the story. The fact is, who lost Jesus? The very ones that were closest to him, his parents. The ones least likely to lose him. Right now, I'm thinking about a couple that Ron and I ran into at the mall a few years ago. They had been faithful members of the church. They weren't a part of this church, but they had been faithful members to the church that they belonged to. And we ran into them and greeted them. And they began to talk to us about how they don't go to church anymore. You know what? They got disillusioned. And I would submit to you, I never expected that they would lose fellowship with Jesus. Can I also say that happened in a great many instances regarding COVID? People got a little bit separated from the body of Christ or got out of a routine, and they've lost sight. They've lost fellowship with Jesus. They're not as close as they used to be. And the fact is that the people that should have been the closest, the parents are the ones that lost them. It can happen to anybody. I would ask you, secondly, where did they lose them? It was in the temple, which in our language would be the church. They lost them right in the house of God. And then third question, what were they doing when they lost them? They were involved. They were celebrating the feast. They were right in the midst of religious activity, observing the Passover. Sometimes I would submit to you, the very people whom you would least expect to lose sight do exactly that. My parents warned me when I went to Bible college in Minneapolis, off to Bible school. They warned me, you know what, even in that environment, Brad, you can grow cold to the things of God. Don't let the secure environment of being around other Christians solely be the thing that leads you to drift from the things of God. Third lesson is this. You can lose sight of Jesus when you take steps away thinking he's still with you. Look at the word says there in verse 44 again. Thinking, assuming, presuming he was in their company. They traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives. Now, how did Mary and Joseph lose Jesus? They just started walking from Jerusalem towards Nazareth, presuming that Jesus was with them or was somewhere else in the traveling group. But with every step, they were moving farther away from Christ. What can we learn from this? When a person loses fellowship with Jesus, it doesn't happen overnight. They don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to walk away from the things of God, the church of God, the people of God. Let me find something really wicked to do. No, they generally take small steps in the wrong direction. And they keep convincing themselves that Jesus is still with them. Can I just say this? Jesus didn't leave Mary and Joseph. They left him. Jesus won't leave you, but there's a type of attitude and behavior that you can adopt in which you lose the closeness and the intimacy with Christ. There's a powerful verse of scripture. We must pay more careful attention. Say careful attention. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. One of the saddest stories in the Word of God was about that life of Samson, that he-man who was strong as could be. The Bible says that he had drifted, and there's a powerful verse, Judges chapter 16, verse 20. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. When Jesus is present, when Jesus is alive and well in our souls, when our eyes are focused on him, here's one of the telltale signs of your life that you're in right relationship. You continually change. He doesn't change, but Jesus is always conforming us to the image of his son, of his person. So what can we do about it? Let me just take 5 to 7 minutes and cover this with you, if I can. I want you to jot these things down. The three definitive steps that you can take to restore intimacy with Jesus. If you've lost sight of them, don't despair. Don't be discouraged today, because the fellowship can be restored before you walk out of the doors. Fellowship with Jesus can be restored first when you accept the fact that you've left him. We can only imagine the shock and the regret that Mary and Joseph experienced when they came to the campsite that first night, at the end of the day's walk. If they reacted like most of us, how would they have reacted? They would have started blaming each other. I thought he was back there with you. After all, he's 12 now, and he's supposed to be walking with the men. Me? He's always walked with you. After all, he's not even my earthly son. But fortunately, Joseph and Mary didn't respond like that. They didn't start arguing. They started working together to solve the problem. And can I say parenthetically, it's not part of the predominance of the message, but that's a great example for couples today. Don't waste your emotional energy assigning blame. Just attack a problem together. Devote your attention to resolving your problem. Mary and Joseph admitted it. He's not here. We've got to do something about it. I'm sure they were embarrassed when everybody discovered it as well. It wasn't time to cover up or make excuses. It was a time to declare it's a personal emergency. Friend, you'll never reclaim fellowship with Jesus until you're honest enough that you've lost sight of him. Look at these words of Oswald Chambers. Beware if in your personal testimony you have to hark back to the past and say, once so many years ago, I walked with Jesus. If you're walking in the light, there's no harking back. If you get out of the light, you become a sentimental Christian and live on memories alone. Beware of trying to patch up a present refusal to walk with Jesus by recalling past experiences when you did walk in the light. Whenever the Spirit checks, call a halt and get to the thing right, or you will go on grieving him without knowing it. What a powerful word. Accept the fact that you've left him. Second step is this: tenaciously begin to seek him. I'm sure Mary and Joseph discovered Jesus was missing. They made their plans immediately. Let's return to Jerusalem. They probably spent a sleepless night waiting so they could travel in the morning. They bedded down, and as soon as the dawn approached, they set off to retrace their steps to Jerusalem. An amazing part of the story is found in verse 46. It says there again, after 3 days, they found him. That may mean that 3 days after they returned, or 3 days they were seeking him. But the fact of the matter is, the shortest time would have meant a day walking back and then looking around him to combine for 3 days. Nonetheless, my point is this: they didn't find him immediately, but they weren't going to give up until they found him. They didn't quit after one day and say, well, you know what, he's 12, he'll take care of himself, that's all we're going to do for a search. We'll just call the authorities and have them put his picture on some milk skins in Jerusalem. No, the great lesson is, when you've lost fellowship with Jesus, it may take some time to fully restore the intimacy. You must persist in seeking him. It would be nice if we could lay our hands on our forehead today and pray a prayer and something emotional. Don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about salvation here. Our salvation is instantaneous. But when you've lost sight of Christ one second, and the fact is you come back into fellowship with him by seeking him again, calling on his name, accept the fact that you've left him, tenaciously begin to seek him. Thirdly, as the worship team comes back, revisit the place where you left him. Where did Mary and Joseph finally find Jesus? They found him in the temple. That's where they had visited their religious pilgrimage. And that's probably where Jesus had his bar mitzvah. Now, this may sound simple, but you can't miss it. But if you want to find Jesus again, If you want your sense of fellowship and intimacy to be rekindled, you've got to go back to where you left him. For some of you, it's going back to being involved in ministry. It's going back to faithfully giving to the house of God. For some of you, it's going back to your devotional life, setting aside that time early in the morning to have communion with him. But the fact of the matter is, simply means going back that you and I start doing the Father's business again. When you stop serving the Lord and say, you know what, I'm just going to take a vacation, that's a sign that, you know what, you're growing cold to the things of God. The vacation has become a permanent retirement, if you will. You may be here today, and this is just one of those Sundays where you decided, I think I'll go to the house of God. Can I encourage you? Would you return to the place where you lost sight of Jesus? Return to the place of your departure. Later on in Luke, Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus told about a son who had left his home and spent his inheritance on sinful living. He never lost his relationship with the father, that story of the prodigal son, but the fellowship was spoiled. Finally, the young man came to his senses. He comes to a spiritual aha moment, and he says, you know what? My dad's servants got it better back home than I do here living in the pig pen. And he came to his senses. Do you know what he did? He didn't send a messenger to tell his dad he's sorry. No. He got up and he returned to where he had left his father. And when his dad saw that son, the fact is, the dad came running to meet him. Can I say to you today, this last Sunday, if you'll take one step towards Jesus, he'll take 1,000 steps towards you. That's just how it works in the kingdom. Today, the Father's waiting for some of you that are watching online or in person in your heart to return to him. When you do, the enemy might be telling you, you know what, he's going to condemn you or criticize you or punish you. No, my friend, he'll welcome you with open arms. He'll embrace you and he'll kiss you on the cheek. He'll express his grace to you afresh. He'll give you a spiritual shower and show you his mercy. Have you lost Jesus? He's waiting for you to seek him and find him and be in fellowship with him. Would you stand with me, Brighton? Pastor Killian's going to close this service with a particular appeal in just a moment. And you're going to be led in worship. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. But I'd like to ask you, would you just lift your hands? And I want to pray a prayer over you as we close out 2025. Lord, I pray over every soul that is listening to me online or in person. Lord, would you speak to their hearts and their lives right now? Would you draw them closer than they've ever been to you right now? We take, Lord, responsibility if we've drifted. We turn our hearts towards you, Lord, in repentance, turning back to you today. And Lord, we lift up holy hands and we just say, oh, mighty God, we come back to the place where we lost you. Lord, turn our hearts afresh towards the things of God. We love you. We give ourselves to you afresh in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Pray, Lord, Ron and I do over these saints. Lord, if you don't come back the last part of this year, I pray a fresh anointing upon this body of believers. I pray fresh grace to abound to them in Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. Amen.